If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of What's Right, What's Left. Normally, Pastor Ernie Sanders would be sitting in the seat, but he's taking a little bit of a break. Definitely well deserved. This is the his last day of the broadcast not being here. He'll be back on Monday, and he's getting a well deserved rest. My name is Randy Gay. I'm a deacon at his church, and certainly the co-host in the broadcast with me is Pastor Joe Larson.
Yeah, good evening.
Great. And we're also
confused. I was going to tell people you were going to be handling the show tonight, and we neither one got that part squared away. So take it away.
All righty, great. Did our other caller call in yet?
He's going to call in at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, great then. All right. Now, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to do a number of things. We're going to do something that is a mirror image of, or certainly we'll say an example of what we do, what we pray about before we go on the air every night. And normally what I pray over Pastor Ernie and with the staff here is that we pray that Pastor Ernie will connect the dots of the current events to the Bible and the news all the way to salvation. And that's what this program is going to be about tonight. We're going to do a brief Bible study like we always do. And the Bible study, really, I want you to think about this in light of the conduct of a nation and God's reaction therewith, whether that nation is, we'll say, righteous or evil. And tonight, what we're going to do is we'll take a look at that, and then we'll delve into it. We'll are going to use the scriptural background as an example of what's going on today. And we all know about the Bible and the news in terms of Hamas and Israel. So to set the table, I'd like to start, and we're going to do a brief study in Proverbs, and it will Pastor Joe and I will read the verses, and I want you to think about this in terms of individuals, in terms of a nation, and we're going to talk about how America has been very unrighteous, very rebellious, and it'll all culminate when we talk about why we're where we're at right now. So with that, I'd like to ask you, Pastor Joe, if you would start in Proverbs, if you would read the scriptures from chapter 1, verses 22 to 33. Thank you.
The title you had was Thin Ice Over Deep Water, right?
That's right.
How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil.
And oh my God, isn't that so true in life? And now we'll go to chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. I'm sorry, 21 and 22. And that's it. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut out of the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.
So far, it sounds like it's not a good thing to be on the wrong side of God.
Exactly. Well, it sounds like you eat the fruit of your own way.
So now we're going to chapter 6, verse 1, right?
That's correct.
My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger.
Sound a lot like foreign aid, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially with no idea where the money's going.
That's exactly right. None of it. And we certainly have been surety for the world, if you will. Now we'll go to 8:15. 8:15 is, by me kings reign and princes decree justice.
Okay, so he's making it quite clear who it is really in charge, regardless of what the world thinks.
That's exactly right.
Now we'll go to chapter 11, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. By the mouth of the wicked. Sounds a little like an old Roman Hill saying about the enemy within is far more dangerous than the enemy without the gate.
That's exactly right. You know, rolling over to 14:5, I want you to think about Washington, D.C. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And then in 11 there, we've got the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And then verse 25, it says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. And then lastly, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I think that's self-explanatory. And then we'll
righteousness
go to,
does exalt the nation, but sin is what brings them all down, right?
That's correct. And I mean, can anyone deny that is the sad state of America right now?
It is a sad state. We've gone astray, left God, told him we didn't need him, and we've gone to the following the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and seeking everything but the Lord, and the state we're in. It's pretty clear to me.
That is so true. If we go to 15:27, what we have here is that he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. And it's interesting to me that happens even with the wicked. There's somebody whose name is Hunter that has really kind of troubled his own house.
But the way the wording of that last part, but he that hateth gifts, what he means, he that hateth
bribes.
People are trying to bribe.
That's right.
Or trying to buy or make you feel, what's the word, indebted. You know, that there, we could do so many phrases there because that covers a very big spectrum, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. And then rolling over to 16:12, it's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness.
Hmm. Abomination is one of the strongest words in the Bible. So when the kings go wicked, like when Joe Biden went wicked, that is an abomination to God Almighty and doesn't sound very good for Joe Biden, does it?
That's exactly right. It doesn't.
So 16:12, we're at 17:5?
That is correct, 17:5.
Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished.
So that therein, that, you know, that's a promise too, because the word of God is sure. In 18:3, he says, when the wicked cometh, then cometh contempt, and with ignominy, reproach, and that's shame. The
reproach,
with,
yeah.
That's right. With shame comes reproach, and it is a shameful thing. And we've watched a number of things happen. Think back to the Clintons about shame. Think back to the Bidens. It's a weekly thing, and also into the Obama administration. There's ignominy, and it's shame. It is shameful what they do and what goes on here. And then over to 21, if you would, Joe.
All right, 21. Hang on, I got to
sure, take your time. Yeah, take your time.
I had that down for you, so I got to turn.
Okay, oh no, you know what? You're right. I did that, and that's my bad. So 21:12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. And then verse 30 and 21 also is, there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. And how well we know that, how much we're seeing that. 20 and out 28.
Counsel against him. Well, what he's trying to, well, the simple way to put it is that these people all think they're smarter than God.
That's exactly right.
And in Scripture, we can look at a couple of leaders. I remember one crawling around on his hands and knees eating grass. Was kind of one of the examples. Don't think that was a good idea, right?
That is correct.
That was one of the worst things I can imagine happening to somebody. All right, chapter 28. I've got several verses. 2.
Sure.
For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. One good man can prolong and keep something from terrible happening. But usually, one of the verses in Scripture, if a leader lies, then all his servants are wicked. If you serve a lying leader, the only people that would serve a leader that lies are wicked ones, which kind of capsulates our situation today, right?
That's right.
We have a leader that cannot tell the truth, and those under him, what? They can't lie. I mean, they can't tell the truth either. They have to maintain the narrative of the lie, and he has some of the most wicked people under him. Verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them.
And don't we have a lot of that going on right now?
Well, the first part, we have a lot of the people praising, you know, the wicked.
That's right.
We don't have many, especially the pastors, contending, you know, pointing out those, you know, the Scripture tells us we're to reprove. That's a soft, gentle, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And then if that doesn't work, we're to rebuke, which is a strong word that, you know, like thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not do that. So what we're lacking is the second part of that, those that are doing the contending. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You know, that I was, when I first saw that, I never quite understood it. Understand not judgment. Kind of like, I guess, when I heard the Hell's Angels, well, you know, we don't care about going to rule, be in heaven because we're going to rule in hell. Nobody bothered to tell them they're not going to be doing any ruling down there in hell. It's a place of torment, and they're not going to be running around leading the party, are they?
You know, the other thing to me that nobody talks about in hell, and you may shed some light on this, because what I noticed in hell is that they never talk about any fellowship with anybody in hell at any level.
There isn't.
You're there by yourself.
Your own torment.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about others, their suffering, their torment. You're totally obsessed with your own, all you can handle.
That's right.
You're right. That's the only thing that happens there. Verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden.
And is it
that when the wicked rise, a man is hidden? In other words, the righteous men are kind of hidden from sight because
that's right.
Often they are silenced by the wicked, right?
That's right. There's a dearth of righteous people. You don't, they become this, as my mom used to say, as scarce as hen's teeth.
Well, sometimes they get thrown in jail. Sometimes they other things happen to them.
That's right.
15, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. True, because the more wicked the ruler, the worse it is on the poorer people that have the less money. They always suffer the worst of all.
Sure, because they can't pay the bribes.
Right. They can't pay the favors.
That's right.
28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. When they perish, and sooner or later, quite often, they are the means of their own destruction. Not always, but that's why we have imprecatory prayers. We can ask the Lord that these people should repent. They should repent and turn from their wicked ways, or, Lord, remove them in whatever way you see fit.
Sure. And sort of carrying on into that, in 29, verse 2, it says, the righteous, or when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And isn't that kind of what's happening? Like right now, the king by judgment established the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth. And we're seeing that right now. The gifts meaning bribes. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And verse 12, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked.
Yeah, and I guess I got ahead of myself just thinking that when Biden hearkens to a lot of lies and deceit, everybody that serves him has to be wicked. There's no other possibility there.
They would all resign. That's right. And when wicked are multiplied, this is verse 16, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. And that's the hope that we have, obviously, now in the next election. Verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Hey, yeah, well, we keep God's law. We're happy because we know how things turn out in the end. We know what happens.
That's right.
And we know the rest of the story. We know our salvation is secure. And that is our what keeps us going, you know?
That is so true.
The root of our faith.
And then would you finish it off with chapter 30 there?
Chapter 30 and verses 11 and 12. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Ooh. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, first, one of the commandments, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And those that curse their parents are cursing their heritage. And, nowadays, so many people are from such wicked families, raised and abused and beaten and all kinds of bad things. It's gotten a little changed, isn't it? I think it's referring to good families there, don't you?
Yes, yeah. But, you know, the other thing is that we are living in a nation where the other generation is. You know, the generation that curseth its mother. I mean, and we see that in the news more and more and more. I mean, I always think about, let's, you know, roll back the news 50 years ago. There's a whole different level of what we called wicked versus what it is now. And things did not get better. They escalated is what happened.
Yeah, well, we've got this new woke generation that the religious parents don't know anything, and we're, you know, not hip, we're not cool, we're sticking to the old ways, and we're not progressive enough and all this. So, yeah, this is this last young generation, perfect example of that line.
That is so true. I'd like to put a ribbon on this study by going to Psalm 33, and I'd like to read verses 12 to 22, which winds it up. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hoped in thee. And I think that you know, if we look at our nation, we've pretty much violated all of these principles, all of them, as individuals and certainly as a nation, and nobody's crying out. And when I say nobody, I say very, meaning very little. The voice basically is to have at it, to keep at it, and to continue to do without any regard, any worship, any respect for the Lord. Okay. And, you know, blessed is his name. Now, Seth, did our caller call in before we go to prayer? Not yet. Okay. Then we've got like 2 minutes left. The thing that I'd like to bring it back to is that tonight's lesson, we're going to use Israel as an example, and also what's happened with our nation. Every time that we've betrayed Israel, you're going to see that. And of all places, the reason I chose the study tonight where we're at is because we have all, pretty much most of our listeners, I think, have lived through this. And but the idea of what's really happening in the background of it, I think most people have missed. And we're fortunate tonight to have our own John McTernan on the show. And I'm looking for John to call in at the bottom of the hour. And what you all may not know is that John is not only a chaplain and part of our family here, but John is also the founder of Cops for Christ, and John is also the author of books. And it's funny that when I did the study tonight, I'd like to say this before he comes on, that I didn't really realize, and it's something that I've read the book we're going to use, which is it is How Satan Turned America Against God. And John contributed to the material here, and also John has written a book that actually tonight is pretty much and it's called Israel, the Blessed or the Curse. And the co-authors are John McTernan and Bill Koenig, and we'll go into that. Now, okay, we got 5 seconds. All right, then let's go to the song that we have for the bottom of the hour, and hopefully by then we can start our program for tonight. Thank you.
Mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortals. mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abided. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Okay, I'd like to welcome John McTiernan, Chaplain John McTiernan, and I'd like to also welcome Coach DeWayne. And Coach DeWayne, as you all may know, joins us occasionally, but he's asking for prayer, so we'd like to give it to him. So, Coach, why don't you lead us into that, and then, you know, I or John or Joe can lead us in prayer.
Very good. Good evening to all of you men of God. God bless you. I have a special love in my heart for all of you for doing the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
I'm
Coach.
I'm calling in regard of a gentleman that I've known for years from work. He's 80-something years old. He's in the hospital. He had throat cancer and surgery, and he went back in for radiation treatments, and they burned his mouth and they burned his lips. And he has an ulcer in the back of his throat. He cannot eat. He is in extreme, tremendous pain. And I really would like prayers for this man. He is being tormented. So I would ask for God in all his mercy and his healing power to help my friend Russ DeSanto from Strongsville, Ohio. So if one of you would pray, I sure would appreciate it.
Sure. But one of you guys.
Russ DeSanto, right?
Russ DeSanto.
Ruck, I'm sorry.
Russ DeSanto.
Oh, that's what I thought. Russ.
Yes.
Okay, Coach. Would you like to do it, Randy?
Sure, I can. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to lift up the name and the personhood of Russ DeSantis. a servant of you, and the petition is emanating from an intercessor, a man of God also, Dwayne Risco, whom we know as Coach. And I thank you, Father God, for the privilege to approach the throne of grace in the presence with Chaplain John, with Pastor Joe, and the listening audience. And we ask you, dear God, that you might hear our prayer, that you might hear our prayer for Russ DeSantos, and that you might touch his body and heal his body. And that we ask you, dear Father God, with a sense of urgency that this might happen, that you might alleviate his suffering. For you said you were wounded for our you were bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and you paid that penalty. And I'm asking now to claim that right as a son of God, not demanding, but asking you as a father to give that to us, to this man, that you might hear our petition, that we might be governed, guarded, and guided by you what to ask for. But we ask that you might grant Russ length of days, long life, peace, salvation, of course, first and foremost, but also your presence, that you might bear his hurt, his pain, his illness, bear it like you bear our sins, and be his burden bearer, that his family, friends, and strangers might see your mighty hand, that you might work a miracle in the life of this man, and that you might heal him like we know you do, because we know you still heal the sick, you still raise the dead, you make weak men strong, strong men weak, rich men poor, poor men rich, and that nothing is too hard for you. And we also know more than anything that the blood still works. You still cleanse men from all unrighteousness, and you still heal. And by your stripes we are healed, so we're asking that that might be manifest in the body of Russ. And I pray, dear God, that you might hear this, that you might hear our prayer, that you might come quickly and do it now, because we all know what it is to know that sometimes waiting is hard. So I'm asking you, we wait on you, we call on you, but you said that before we called, you would answer, that you would hear while we were yet speaking. So I thank you for the privilege to pray for this man, to be part of your sonship, your fellowship, and we ask that you might restore his soul, that you might heal his body, and that he might be a trophy and an example for people to see and provoke those who don't have you as their God. May that be part of provoking them to jealousy, to want you for their God, and that they would come, and that men would be saved, because we still want to use this program to call people to salvation, which is the foundation of it, first and foremost, in every way we can. And I'm asking you, dear God, to hear the petitions of your people now for the welfare of this gentleman. In Jesus' name I pray, and I ask it and thank you. Amen.
I want to thank you very much on behalf of his wife and my boss, Nick Kyriakakis at Heritage Floors, and our secretary, Pam, who works there, who relayed the information to me. I want to thank you and everyone out there who prayed. God bless you very much. Gentlemen, may you have a wonderful, blessed show, and may our Lord Jesus Christ come very soon. Good night, and God bless, and thank you.
Sure.
Good night, Coach.
Hi, John, welcome.
Yes, hello.
Hey, and I'm so glad you could make it. For me, you are my miracle today, because as we know, that the listening audience doesn't know, that you weren't scheduled for tonight. And it's funny, I had forgotten that you had contributed to this book, Bill Grady's book, which I know you're aware of. And to have you with us today, you're part of the intro that I'm about to read now. And I thank you, and I'm certainly, you know the drill, you know what we do, and we are just, you know, we're blessed to have you. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you and all our listeners.
All right. Well, thank you much. All right. And with that, let's go. This is out of the book, how Satan turned, America against God. And it says, okay, according to Revelation 3:17, Joe?
Oh, what? I'm sorry.
According to Revelation 3:17.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. Take your time.
Got it.
Take your time. My handwriting is bad. Okay.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked.
Sure. It says, okay, that's Revelation 3:17. The great danger of the last days stems from a prevailing spiritual blindness within the body of Christ. This very condition was foreshadowed by the fall in the garden, Genesis 3:6.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Sure. Paul's depiction of Jesus as the last Adam, and this is 1 Corinthians 15:45.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Okay, and made Eve the first major type of the church in Scripture. In order to rescue their brides, both Adams would have to forfeit a perfect environment, lay aside their lordship, take up sin, and endure separation from the Father. While the first Adam blew it, the last Adam would make everything right. Romans 5:12-21.
Oh, I had 5:1. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I've got the wrong stuff. Hang on.
That's okay. Take your time.
I'd written it out and did it wrong. Sorry.
No problem.
Romans 5. There we go. Okay. What was the numbers?
5:12-21.
12-21. All right. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abandoned unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Sure. Charles Wesley set this doctrine to music with the words, Second Adam from above restate us in thy love. Now, in 1 Timothy 2:14.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Paul gives us the key to fully appreciate this beautiful picture of man's redemption. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. While Eve was tricked into eating the fruit, her husband did so with full understanding of the consequences. Romans 5:14, and then Genesis 5:1-5.
Well, we'll just do the 5:14.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And the other is just about explaining Adam and the descendants to Noah.
That's right. Okay. Now, the all-important verse that connects the typology of the present Laodicean apostasy is Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. Thus, the history of mankind will undoubtedly end the same way it began, with a bride being deceived. More specifically, with regard to Japheth's spiritual destiny, the collapse of the church in its westernmost theater of enlargement will also follow the predictable pattern of precise historical antecedent. As the fall of Rome, not to mention the calamitous Dark Ages, was set in motion with the religious rite of the 4th century, embrace the grossly compromised testimony of a pagan professional politician, and that's Emperor Constantine the Great. You might want to watch for a similar generation of naive Christians getting snookered by another born-again leader. And let's see, but of course, this is merely wishful thinking on my part. The scripture has already spoken on the matter. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things which are to come, with those that shall come after. Ecclesiastes 1:11, as even the heathen knew, the only lesson that men ever learn from the history is that men never learn anything from history. Therefore, history is doomed to repeat itself. This is the essence of deja vu. And whatever you do, don't let the fact that the initial deception took place in Iraq bother you. And that's Genesis 1:4, which is where the Garden of Eden was, and it's probably just another coincidence. We know that it's not. And with that, we'll get into the meat. And this is, John, I'd like for you certainly to take the reins all the way through this, because you're the author of this stuff. Are you there? Okay. And what I'm starting out with is that on January 16th, 1994, and then we'll roll into it, President Bill Clinton and Syria's Hafez Assad met in Geneva to discuss more land for peace arrangements. This time Israel would have...
Time-wise, Randy, if I could, what you've got is several examples of when something we did, the consequences, I think John's aware, you were talking about how Satan turned America against God. And this is where, it's not a coincidence, but the convergence of different historical events. Right, John?
Oh, yeah. I didn't quite understand what was happening. Yes, that's from my book, As America's Done to Israel.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you're talking about was a meeting that took place with Bill Clinton and Assad from Syria about the Golan Heights, and that Clinton was demanding or pressuring Israel to give the Golan Heights back to Syria. And that was after the 67 and 73-day war.
That's
so
right.
I remember watching that on TV. It was a nightly news. And when I heard that, that literally the hair went up in the back of my neck. And the way Clinton said it, it was like with this arrogance, he said it. So I got a real bad feeling. I prayed to the Lord. I went to bed. When I woke up the next morning and turned the news on, the Northridge earthquake had happened in California.
That's correct, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. 6.9 earthquake, and it really caused some damage, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did horrific damage.
Freeways collapsed, all kinds of things.
Well, yeah. Now, there's another side story on this, which I didn't put in the book, but I know nothing about California like that. But it turns out that Northridge was the pornographic capital of the world.
Okay.
And all the major pornographic producers there, they were either completely damaged or heavily damaged. And the feet, right, that earthquake, the epicenter of the earthquake, not only was it in conjunction with what America was doing to Israel, but it also was literally under the feet of the pornography industry in the United States at that time.
You know, I'd like to interject in here also, John, that you had written
I want to add one more thing about that. That was two earthquakes in one. The earthquake, the ground shifted back and forth, and then it lifted up and down. And that's why it did such horrific damage then. But the geologists never found the fault that created that earthquake. It just happened.
The other thing is that you had in your notes here is that this happened less than 24 hours after it happened. And what I'd like to show is that we're going to give them a series of events that happened either right away or right away when all of these, whenever we did a move like that, then God showed his displeasure. And I'd like to do this because most of the listeners, I'm sure, have lived through these things. And we've never tied these things to Israel. And that God's displeasure with us as a nation. And I know that you wanted to tie in that, like, how tenuous things are right now, and I'd like to get to that tonight, too.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
So we'll just jump down here, and so just remember that once the Clintons said Israel must make concessions that are going to be politically unpopular with many Israelis, less than 24 hours, this earthquake happens. And to give you an idea, folks, of the magnitude, and then I'll move down to the next event, is that it is considered impossible by geologists. That was a 6.9 on the Richter scale earthquake. It's impossible to have one that's 10, that measures at 10, because they're all kind of based on a bunch of facts, but a lot of it's the length of the fault. And so you'd almost have to rip a whole continent in half to have it register 10. So that's pretty far up there, and that was pretty devastating. And I didn't know about the porn part. Now, also September the 1st, 1993, President Clinton announced he would meet Arafat and Rabin at Rabin, which was obviously the Israeli prime minister, on September 13th in Washington, D.C., to begin the Oslo Peace Accord. And I'm sure everybody pretty much kind of remembers that. After nearly a week of meandering in the Atlantic Ocean, Hurricane Emily hits North Carolina on that day, March 2nd. Do you want to comment, John? Go ahead.
Yeah, what happened was that hurricane came up the East Coast really slow, and it made a kind of a right-hand turn into the Atlantic Ocean, and then it turned it like in a circle and came back to the United States, and it hit exactly when Arafat had landed coming to the United States about that meeting.
Sure,
and if he was doing like circles out in the Atlantic, waiting for him to land.
Yeah, because isn't it true that thing just kind of hovered there? I remember that, and it just kind of stayed where it was till he got there.
Well, it meandered. It did like kind of like a little circle out there.
Okay.
It didn't quite stay still. It
right.
Did like a circle. The circle back, and then hit the United States the day he landed.
Okay. And now here's another one. And all, like I said, all this is your data. March 2, 1997, Arafat, so this is like 4 years later, Arafat meets with President Clinton in Washington, D.C. the same day. Awesome tornado storms unleashed tremendous damage to Arkansas, flooding in Kentucky and Ohio. Arkansas and Kentucky are declared disaster areas. January 2020, you had another comment? Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a vicious storm that went from one end of Arkansas to the other, and it went through Little Rock, and Clinton had built a tree for his a treehouse for his daughter on the Capitol, what would you call it, the White House of Arkansas, the governor's mansion, and that part of that storm went through there and ripped that tree and that treehouse right out of it. And then it went right out into Tennessee and did horrific damage. And it did horrific damage along the Ohio River. And when Arafat left, that storm lifted. And then the headlines were Arafat visiting the United States and this big storm. There were like front page headlines on the papers back. You couldn't miss it. Absolute front page headlines about the damage done to Arkansas and to the governor's mansion and the other states while Arafat was here.
Sure, and let's not forget who came from Arkansas. Bill Clinton.
Bill
Clinton came from Arkansas. You know,
yes.
Next event, January 21st, 1998. President Clinton is waiting to meet with Arafat at the White House. At this exact time, the president's sex scandal broke. need I say yes. more?
Yes. What happened was with that, he had been really belittling and mocking Netanyahu, who was then the prime minister of Israel.
Israel, yeah.
And while he had met with Arafat, I forget which way it went. He either had met with, I think he had met with Netanyahu and dismissed him, and he was about to meet with Arafat when that sex scandal broke. Right at that time, he was meeting with Netanyahu and Arafat about dividing Israel.
Yeah.
Exactly at that time.
That's exactly what it says at the exact time. Then
what bothers me is right now we've got a president who is trying to unseat Bibi Netanyahu, trying to undermine Israel. He's supporting Iran. Opening up the funnel, so they had $12 billion in funding, and I'm kind of worried about what is going to be happening while this is happening to Israel.
Sure.
Well,
wanted to go tonight. What could be happening to us shortly?
Yes. You're absolutely right, and this has been my prayer, and everybody in my ministry have been praying this. We're asking the Lord to have mercy on us. And the judgment to be on Biden and his administration, not on the nation,
not
on
the
him.
People.
We're getting up to the top of the hour, guys. I'm going to do one other event real quick, and then we've got quite a few more here. It says now this is the same year.
I think what we can do, Randy, there were 14 different events listed.
That's right.
93 to 2001. And I think we've given enough examples because we've got a lot to talk about in the last hour.
Yeah, we do. That's right. Well, here, let me finish it off with the last one. Arafat is meeting with President Clinton again at Washington. Hurricane George hits Alabama, stalls. The hurricane stalls until Arafat leaves. Then it dissipates, and parts of Alabama are declared a disaster area. And I'm saying that you can see that every time this move is made with this man, that God is responding with the weather.
Yeah, every time that Arafat stepped foot in the United States with the idea of tampering with the land of Israel, there was a horrific disaster here in the United States, and he was, in that particular hurricane, he had visited with the White House, and then he went to the United Nations. And the entire time he was here, that hurricane was half in Alabama, like Mississippi, and half in the Gulf Coast, just churning. Arafat leaves. And literally,
say, John, I hate to do this, but hold that thought. We got like 3 seconds before we go to break. So let's continue when we come back. Thank you so much for coming, both of you.